Welcome to another Car Unload Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, we've got a special guest today.
It's wonderful. We haven't had a special guest in our big studio for a while.
No. Lisa Ryan, Neo Bryan, talking about horses. So welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Now, I've known Lisa since she was a little kid. And her dad, Barry O'Brien, obviously a baseball connection of mine for over almost 50 years now. Now, I have always known you to be associated with horses. Obviously, Dad trained some gallopers, but you're into equestrian. How did you get into equestrian to start off your horse career?
Okay, so, yeah, Dad had gallopers from before I was born, and then I liked just hanging around the horses. Used to go into the track and help Dad, you know, with them, and eventually started riding track work. Unfortunately, a bit heavy to be a jockey. And so loved the sport of eventing, which I used to look at out the window at Gawler High School when they did that big Gawler 3-day event here, and used to think I'd like to have a crack at that, which eventually I did. So that's how I got into it.
How do you get, like, galloping horses? I imagine it's a tough business, but horses love to run. But the equestrian events, how do you end up getting a horse that's suitable for the different events that you have to do in the equestrian competition?
That's the thing I loved most about eventing is that it's the three disciplines. It's dressage, show jumping, and cross country. So you want one that will be tame enough, you know, to do your dressage, and then go out and, as you say, they love to run and they'd love to jump and to do your cross country and your show jumping. And it is tricky to find the right horse. And you go, you know, they have to have the right temperament. They have to be quiet and sensible, but yeah, they have to be willing to go forward. So it's a searching process to go through, you know, and find the right one.
Did you ever have a favourite horse that used to be like your prize horse that would always be one that sort of did everything you wanted?
Yeah, absolutely. I had a few. Probably I don't know if it's my favourite, but the one that ended up being probably the best one, I ended up winning the Melbourne or a part of the Melbourne 3-day event on. And he was just all he wanted to do was do whatever I wanted to do. And in the end, it was his undoing as an eventer, and he went on to become a top dressage horse. But he waited for my instructions on everything. And so for dressage, he was just perfect. For jumping, he'd rely too much on what I said. You know, your best show jumper takes it on board themselves, basically, and, you know, takes you into the fence and works out when they want to take off. And he'd listen too much. But having said that, you know, he was just a terrific horse.
What was his name?
He was Daniel. It was his stable name, yeah.
It's a good name for a horse.
Yeah. You've got a son called Daniel, haven't you?
He's tall like a horse. I don't think he was a good jumper. I'm not sure how you go with the question of the actual dressage part. What about the training for the 3-day events? Because, again, you think of like an athlete or someone training for a particular discipline, but you're really training for three almost separate disciplines. What does training consist of, and how many hours would people be spending a week?
You would spend at least an hour a day for sure on your horse, because they have to be super fit. With the 3-day event, you before the cross country, which is, you know, a lot of kilometres, you do, and probably 22 jumps, you do steeplechase and you do what's called roads and tracks, which sort of warms them up, but it's still a lot of kilometres of just forward, you know, movement. So they have to be super fit, but then they have to be very manageable for the dressage component. So, yeah, you're putting a lot of work and effort into training them.
What's your favourite part of the three disciplines? What is it that gives you the most pleasure in the competition?
Definitely the cross country. And I think anyone that events says the cross country, and for a lot of people, the dressage is a bit of a nuisance that you have to get out of the way to you know, especially kids. As you get older, the dressage is a bit safer, so you like that part. But yeah, the cross country is just, it's an amazing feeling to have a horse that trusts you so much that it'll just gallop into they've fences in water or big drops or they put big ditches under logs and you know, you have to ask that horse to just gallop into it, never seen it before, and jump it. And they, you know, that trust is, it's just a beautiful thing to experience with a horse.
It's funny, you're talking about the jumps and the water where they jump over. Your father, Barry, being a photographer, used to love taking those photos.
Absolutely, because a lot of people fall off in the water. I fell off in the Gawler water, which is a buzz because not the falling off bit, but for the old timers that remember, the water jump at the Gawler Three Day event was just packed. There would be thousands of people just packed in to hopefully see someone fall off. So I obliged. But the beautiful thing was they still want you to keep going. So you climb back on, you're saturated and out you go and everyone cheers. But Dad had positioned himself there and, yeah, he just got some great shots.
I see. I mean, I didn't grow up in Gawler. I've lived here now for about 20 years, but certainly as a kid growing up in northern suburbs, I remember the Gawler three-day event. Do you think, like, because now you're walking through Dead Man's Pass, you'll see some of the remnants of the jumps, etc. But there's that real history of Gawler that maybe has been lost a bit, do you think, in terms of people remembering and understanding that event?
Oh, definitely. Gawler was famous throughout the world for it. We travelled, or was lucky enough to travel with my parents overseas when I was younger, and it was just world-renowned, you know, and people would come from all around the world. And in 1986 we had the World Championships here. And, so I think it was such a sad time to lose the Gawler Three Day event. Obviously it's gone to Adelaide now, and that's, you know, fantastic to have a concept that you have a three-day event through the Adelaide parklands. And, you know, that's great. It brings the people to the event. But for little old Gawler, it was, you know, it was a real badge of honour to have it here.
Now, you would have been pretty young at the time. Did you compete in 1986, or were you just a spectator?
No, I was actually really lucky to be asked to be a groom. I had no previous experience in that, but one of the riders from Tasmania didn't have his own groom, and so I was asked to be a groom, and still remains one of the best times of my life because all my heroes were there riding, and so I got to just bunk in with them and learnt so much about the sport and the preparation and everything. And, so I was an active part of it without actually competing.
I think Prince Charles was there for the event. Did Princess Anne compete?
No, she didn't. I think there was some royalty there, yeah.
So now you've moved on to a different type of horse events, which is the trotting. So tell us about that.
So, I started trotting driving when I was 40, and I've been doing that for 12 years, so that gives that away. So initially just doing it just to help out, my husband, it's his passion.
Toby Ryan.
Yes, Toby Ryan. And so just to help him out initially, and then our main driver got severely hurt in a trotting driving accident, and he's never driven again actually. And so I took over the reins, so to speak. I love that. The adrenaline buzz is there for racing. You know, you're competing, and it's full on.
But before you went to that, weren't you training gallopers like your father did?
Yeah, Dad always said, you should have a go. So I ended up having a go at training gallopers, and I had some success, mostly country, but had some nice horses, and I had a lot of fun, had some owners, and, you know, it was a great journey to go on. But, again, a pretty time-consuming thing, and it wasn't Toby's and my thing, it was just my thing. So it was nice to be able to do a sport with Toby.
I always wonder about horses and comparing them to, like, human athletes. And because it's hard, like, from my perspective, you think, oh, you know, like, people playing whatever sport. But horses are obviously fabulous athletes. Is that built into their personality? Like, do you just find them that they naturally want to compete?
It's like humans, there'll be some that are gifted but don't want to try, and then there'll be others that are real little battlers and they'll give it their all but they're not that quick, you know. So it's varying, but you soon work out, you know, you can sort of kid them into ways of like some just need to be super, super fit and then they'll do their best, and some, if you do that to them, they'll just be flat and won't want to run. So they are very much like human athletes.
And then you've got the different types. You've got the gallopers, and you've got the trotters, and you've got the equestrian horses. Is that known from when they were young that they will be that type of horse, or do they develop into that type of field?
That's in the breeding. So your standard breeds, which are your harness racing horses, you can't enter a standard bred in a thoroughbred race, for example. So you won't see one of them in the gallops, and you won't see a thoroughbred at harness racing because they're just two completely different breeds. And then equestrian, it's heavily going towards now warm bloods, which is another line again of horse. And obviously warm blood can't compete in either gallops or harness racing. So you're getting, you know, really specialist, but no, they're bred for it. So yeah.
What about the jumps? You know, like the Easter 3-day down at Oakbank. What about those horses that do the jumps? Are they related to any of those three types of horses?
Yep, so they're thoroughbreds, and well, certainly back in the day, they were slow thoroughbreds, and then they'd try them over the jumps to sort of give them another outlet. And now, a bit like anything, they're sort of performance bred. So if you get a really good steeplechaser as a stallion sire, then you'll hopefully breed some nice steeplechasers. So it's getting quite specialised, but they are thoroughbreds, yes.
Now, harness racing, again, is pretty big in our area. You've got, obviously, Globe Derby, and we've got the track here at Gawler. So how many people would currently be involved in harness racing?
Yeah, not sure on that one, sorry, Sean. But what I do know about the sport is it's really inclusive. We do pony trots, and you can start as young as 5 and go in the pony trots. And then we've got a guy out there called John Lee, and he might not even be the oldest, but he's 82 and he's still driving in races.
Wow.
And so we've got generations of people within harness racing in South Australia and in Australia that have been brought up in the sport. They're still in the sport, and it's that sort of sport that you can do. So if you just want to grab yourself a harness racing horse and teach yourself, basically, you can go out and drive. You know, there's no restrictions. You don't have to be a certain weight or anything, so it's a great sport for inclusion.
And going on the other side of it, you were competing in Tasmania recently and you had a bit of a fall. Tell us, first off, about your fall, what happened. I believe you busted your ribs. And two, the dangers of actually driving.
It is a dangerous sport. I guess anything at high speed is dangerous, and obviously we're not strapped into the sulky, so we race very tight. You're basically shaft on shaft if you think of your horse's bike, and then obviously the legs of the horse are right close to you, behind you. It's a thrilling thing. You've got the horse behind you snorting down your neck. That's how close it is. And of course, like anything, if a tiny little thing goes wrong, a horse moves in or out inadvertently, then they can hit a wheel and you get tipped out. I broke some ribs in Tasmania, which was a bit of a bummer. And we've had within the sport some really nasty injuries, but they try very hard to make it easier for us. They took away a running rail, so now there's only pegs, so that if you get in bother, you can just pull to the inside, whereas in the old days there was a running rail, nowhere to go, so they were far worse. And the stewards are hot on, cutting people off, and really hot on that. You get a lot of suspensions if you interfere with people.
Do you wear any protective gear? Like, I mean, you said you're not tethered or not in, not wearing a seatbelt.
No.
But what gear do you wear?
We wear a vest. We wear it's a safety approved vest, and they're quite expensive, and a helmet that's also checked all the time. And to be honest, before the fall in Tasmania, I thought the vests were a bit of a waste of time and just a bit of a showpiece to make it look like we're doing the right thing. And my ribs were broken under where my vest sits. So obviously they do a good job.
Now, can you discern whether you like driving or equestrian or training? Which has given you the most satisfaction?
I love the driving because it's something that I can do with Toby. And for us to, we're very much into the breeding side of it now. So to have a foal that you break in and train and then take to the races and then win, to do that whole pathway, it's enormously satisfying. But my passion will always be riding. I love the equestrian.
So with the breeding of the horses and the harness racing, is it like any of the other events? If you've had successful horses, do you breed from them to obviously that then people are looking to purchase those horses?
For sure. We use our own stock. You can go and purchase a brood mare, we don't tend to be commercial with ours. We like to keep ours. The ones that we breed, then we get attached to them, of course, and fall in love, and then we like to watch the process go through. But.
Now, Toby, he was a vet. He's a vet. So is he a horse vet or just a general animal vet?
He is just a horse vet. He, look at your dog if you want him to, but that aspect of his training sort of gone a bit out the window. So, yeah, he's very, very busy with the horse side, and one of his specialties is actually breeding. So, it's quite handy.
Did he sort of come from a horse background himself?
No, his father and mum actually ran a piggery, and they had ponies, but he always wanted to be a vet and he loved horses. And then when he started doing the vet course, I think you do 5 years basic and then you specialise. So he specialised in the horses and went from there.
Good.
All right. Thank you very much. It's funny how fast the time goes, but thanks, Lisa. We'll surely have you on again. So ends another Cut on Low Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.